From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of the psalm is the Word of God, expressed in many different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Sometimes the Lord Jesus tells his church his love thoughts. He does not think it enough behind her back to tell it, but in her very presence he says, Thou art all fair, my love. It is true this is not his ordinary method. He is a wise lover, and knows when to keep back the intimation of love and when to let it out. But there are times when he will make no secret of it, times when he will put it beyond all dispute in the souls of his people. The Holy Spirit is often pleased, in a most gracious manner, to witness with our spirits of the love of Jesus. He takes of the things of Christ and reveals them unto us. No voice is heard from the clouds, and no vision is seen in the night, but we have a testimony more sure than either of these. If an angel should fly from heaven and inform the saint personally of the Savior's love to him, the evidence would not be one whit more satisfactory than that which is borne in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Ask those of the Lord's people who have lived the nearest to the gates of heaven, and they will tell you that they have had seasons when the love of Christ towards them has been a fact so clear and sure that they could no more doubt it than they could question their own existence. Yes, beloved believer, you and I have had times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And then our faith has mounted to the topmost heights of assurance. We have had confidence to lean our heads upon the bosom of our Lord, and we have no more questioned our Master's affection to us than John did when in that blessed posture. Nay, nor so much. For the dark question, Lord, is it I that shall betray thee, has been put far from us. He has kissed us with the kisses of his mouth, and killed our doubts by the closeness of his embrace. His love has been sweeter than wine to our souls.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the third message in a series on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for all of these messages is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. In the first message on the subject, Dr. Cairns focused on verse 9, where the psalmist asked the question and then gave the answer, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The emphasis there showed us that to live clean, our lives must be directed by God's Word. The second message took its text from verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments." Its main theme was the importance of a vital prayer life. The text for the present message is verse 11, where the psalmist declares, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Borrowing from one of the great Puritan writers, Thomas Brooks, Dr. Cairns has entitled this message, A Sure Remedy Against Satan's Devices. Brooks's admonitions are just as applicable today as they were in the 17th century. In the midst of this season of celebration with all its attendant activities, may you know the reality of God's unspeakable gift, His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with God's Word for today, here is Dr. Cairns.
I fear, says Paul. I fear not only what's in the devil's mind, but I fear what the devil has got in your mind. That's serious. That is serious. In Ephesians chapter 6, he commands us in that famous command, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? the wiles of the devil. In 1 Timothy 2:26, he speaks of the snare of the devil. In Revelation 2:24, the Lord Jesus, speaking from the throne of glory, warns of the depths of Satan. Now, this is what I believe the psalmist was perceiving, and so must we. I've mentioned Thomas Brooks and his great series of sermons. His full title was Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And I'm going to do something I very rarely do. Thomas Brooks, I better not preach these things, otherwise this will be a series of sermons. But Thomas Brooks started off that series with 12 devices by which Satan seeks to entangle souls in sin. I want you to listen to them. This is what I rarely do. That I would read 12 points of somebody else's sermon is unheard of. But there's more insight. There's more insight in the old Puritan doctor than all the modern professors of theology put together. Number one, he presents the bait and hides the hook. Think of it. This is how the devil comes to you. He presents the bait, but he hides the hook. Second, he paints sin in the colors of virtue. He can take the most heinous sin and represent it to you as something worthy. That's why we have churches all across America with adulterers sitting there rejoicing. They have broken their marriage vows. They have traded in the first wife for a new model, or the first husband for a new model. And this is love. And isn't love a lovely thing? Isn't it a good thing? How the devil takes the vilest thing and he can paint it to you in the fair colors of virtue. The third thing he does, he makes light of sin. Don't listen to those old Bible-thumping, old-fashioned, narrow-minded bigots. He makes light of sin. The fourth thing, he shows you the sins of good men without showing you much of their virtues. He shows you their sins without showing you their sorrow and their repentance. He points to their sins. He might whisper, they're all hypocrites. But the whole thing is, look at those. Those are leading men. Those are Christian men. Those are good men. Those are the paragons of virtue. And look at their sins. All the faults you find with them. As if finding fault with them justified your sin. But that's what Satan does. And then he'll get a little theological and he'll present the mercy of God as an excuse for sin. God is all merciful. God is all good. God is all love. Not a word about the chastening or the judging of the Lord. So the mercy of God becomes actually an excuse for sin. Sixth thing he does, he represents that, well, don't worry about it now. Just go ahead and sin. You can always repent. Repentance is easy. And here's the twisted lying of the devil. When he's inducing you to sin, he'll tell you, look, you can always confess it. Doesn't the Bible say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? You can always confess. You can always repent. You can always get forgiveness. That's when he's inducing you to sin. But as soon as you sin, he'll tell you, there's no way back. Repentance is impossible. It's not easy anymore. It's now impossible. And then I want you to listen up very carefully, for the old Puritan doctor was right on the mark here. He induces, in the seventh place, he induces you to toy or trifle with sin. Telling you that you can play a little with it without actually committing it. You see, you don't need to be a real separatist from sin. You don't really need to be so bigoted as not to have anything to do with the world. You can trifle with it. You can play with it as a baby with a toy without actually committing it. Another device of the devil is he'll point to you, point out to you how good and how easy sinners have it in the world. Look at them. I mean, look at them and look at you. You're trying to do right and everything's going wrong. They're living in sin. So you say this sin is so bad, and yet they're having the times of their lives. Everything's going well for them. No trouble with them. There's nothing new about this. The 73rd Psalm takes you right down that road. The psalmist was much afflicted, the psalmist Asaph, much afflicted with the same thought. Points out how easy sinners have it. And then the converse of that, number 9, he induces you to sin by showing you the sufferings of the godly. I've just talked this morning about man tortured to death. Mothers and their children thrown in containers to die unless they curse Christ. The devil will come to you and say, well, look at that. I've shown you the ungodly. They're having a ball. And here you look at these people, they're supposed to have the God of all power on their side, and godliness is supposed to be with great gain and all that. But look at them. Look at the sufferings. The 10th thing he does is he hardens your heart by getting you to compare yourself favorably with some people you think are worse than you are. You know, I'm not all I should be. But look at him. I'm not as bad as he is. I may not do this and I may do that, and I may not be this and I may be something else. It's not all what you'd want, but there's a whole lot of people a whole lot worse than I am. So what? So what? But that's the snare of the devil. The 11th device that Brooks mentions is that Satan corrupts the minds with error to lead you to carelessness and loose living. We read this morning how he sought to tempt the Lord Jesus. I'm not going through the temptations of Christ. The reason for reading that passage, I think, is already clear and will be clearer before we're through the Savior's preparation for it and his use of the Word of God. But see how the devil came. Would it not be a good thing for Christ to show to heaven, earth, and hell his power as Almighty God manifested in flesh? Would that not be a good thing? That was the temptation. And then quoting Scripture. Be very careful anytime the devil quotes the Bible. I always tell you, be careful when an apostate or any servant of the devil starts spouting Scripture. The devil never quotes Scripture unless he intends to pervert it. Never. So, he would corrupt your mind by introducing error into it. He'll take a godly truth, usually what he'll call a godly principle, and he'll try to use that as a lever in your mind to get your thinking all corrupted. Let me give you, I could go down a list of these here, but we'll not do that. Let me give you one of them. This is a thing that's very widespread today. And I say this particularly among the Reformed, who are more deformed than reformed and are a shame both to the reformed faith and a disgrace to Christianity at times. I hope I'm making myself clear. I'm trying to work on expressing myself with clarity on these subjects. We have reached the stage in most Reformed churches in America where if anybody has any standard of personal separation and godliness, if you separate from Hollywood, if you separate from Las Vegas, if you separate from the whiskey-swilling, cigar-sucking, gambling crowd of the world, that's legalism. So we're told. No, it's not. That's just a bunch of people who have been corrupted in their thinking, whose thoughts have been corrupted with error, and they're just allowing the devil to do what he tried to do with the Savior, to take the Bible and misuse it to lead to loose living. That's what the devil will do. The final device that Brooks mentions is that he leads you into evil company. He leads you into evil company. We read this last week in Proverbs 1. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go not with them. Now I want to bring two texts together. And I'm not turning them up because I don't want to get off on a tangent preaching them. But I want them to be together in our minds. The psalmist prayed, gather not my soul with sinners. That's a great prayer. I want to tell you something. There's nobody here. I don't care how careless you are about the things of God. I don't care how hardened in heart you've become, how seared your conscience has become when you hear the preaching of the gospel. I am willing to make it a blanket statement. There's not a man, woman, or young person here who can look God in the face and say, Lord, on the day when you're gathering sinners to burn them in hell, number me among them. I want to be there. Not one. Oh, that's the prayer. Lord, gather not my soul with sinners. Good prayer. The only way to escape that is to get to Christ, who is separate from sinners, and who'll separate you from sinners. But if you are praying, gather not my soul with sinners, then Proverbs 1 says, do not go with sinners. In other words, you can't walk in the company that's going to hell, go all the way down the road with them, and think that somehow or other it's going to lead you to heaven. You can't do that. Don't go with them. Now that's plain. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Go not with them. Go not with them. Here are some of the dangers that confront us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America Or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.